Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
It doesn't sound much like Harry Kane is going to be arriving at the World Cup in peak physical condition, judging by the comments of his club manager, Antonio Conte, last night. No, he's not injured. It was a problem of tiredness, says Conte. He is really, really tired.
I mean, yeah. I can't express how tired your
guy
international team captain is.
Exhausted. Yesterday, he had a soft training session, and at one point, he stopped to recover energy. But he's okay. It's only fatigue. It's normal, because Harry has played every game this season. This on the day that the night before, Gareth Southgate names his squad for the World Cup, featuring, of course, their
Kane,
leader,
fresh and hungry
Harry
for
Kane.
Qatar.
So he's
World
hungry,
Cup.
All right. Just the freshness could be an issue. You're welcome to your World Service taster. You know what Kane needs to do, Murph?
What does he need to do?
Take a leaf out of Ken Erdy's book. Take a couple of days off. Go and clear the head. Come back refreshed for the challenge that awaits in Qatar. Ken was back with a brand new episode of the football podcast for World Service members only today. And you know we're getting close to World Cup time when we catch up with our friend Oluwaseuna Okeleji.
Where do you think you got it all wrong today?
That's the guy, exactly, asking the hard questions as always. Oluwaseuna covers African football for the BBC, among others. And he had a really interesting answer to the following question from Ken.
You mentioned, Oluwaseuna, it's a strange World Cup, and obviously the timing, you know, has been unfortunate for players like Mane who have got these injuries, and maybe it's going to put them out. But it's not the only strange aspect of the World Cup, I guess. In Europe, there has been a lot of opposition to the whole idea of Qatar hosting. You know, there's been criticism in media. Some players have criticized. There's been demonstrations by fans in, for instance, in Germany and Norway. Has there been any comparable opposition or criticism in Africa? Have these sorts of issues been part of the build-up of commentary over there?
Well, Africa is a different continent. People rarely open up and talk about it. I think the only opposition to the World Cup is the fact that it's an expensive World Cup for a lot of people who want to travel. There's a global recession. There's economical crisis going on across Africa. People are unable to travel to support their teams. Some of them are looking for help to get to the World Cup. I think that's just been the only conversation. And being an expensive World Cup happening in November, happening in a place like Qatar, a lot of them are a bit unsure if they'll be traveling. A lot of them say they won't be going to the World Cup. That's different from even as the question mark was raised over Russia, many of them still found themselves in Russia because of, where Russia is in Europe and how to get there. But for them, Qatar is more expensive. The World Cup in Brazil was good, even though it's big. Brazil was big and all that. South Africa, continents, you know. So in comparison, Qatar doesn't seem like an attractive place for most of these people who want to go and support their teams. In terms of other things like the human rights stories, in terms of the, alcohol issues and the LGBT crisis and all of that, Africans are a bit more, I don't know what word to use, they're very conservative, you know. In Africa, people are still getting punished for being gay. People are still being punished for being lesbian. There's no, Africa is not really embracing, same-sex marriage. You know, some countries are punishing people. Like Ghana, you can go to jail for a number of years if you practice that and all of those things. So you can understand why Africa would not really get on the train of countries you know, protesting and complaining about those things in Qatar. I hope it makes sense. You understand why some of them, you know, they consider themselves to be very conservative. They consider them to be very cultural. Religion is a huge thing in Africa. So you can't openly come out and call yourself gay in Africa. You might pay the price for that. And it's unfortunate because people are not allowed to express their own, their love. They are not allowed to practice, you know, show themselves there and live the life that they choose to live. It's a completely different story in Africa. So you would understand why Africa would only focus on the cost of the World Cup and not on some of the other issues that the rest of the world is discussing, because they don't think it's one of their issues. In fact, they love what Qatar would do with the choice of LGBT and what have you. But in terms of the expenses, in terms of the location, in terms of the month of November for a World Cup, I think they have issues with that. But then again, many will still find themselves in Qatar supporting their nations.
There were some other topics up for discussion. The Sadio Mane injury, as you heard mentioned there. The Cameroon striker, Vincent Aboubakar, talking himself up big style. And the return of the usual infighting in the Cameroon camp. Imagine that. Your country goes to play at a World Cup and the squad tears itself apart from within.
You mentioned infighting in Cameroon. I mean, this is, you know, I don't know what that is. I'm wondering what's going on there. I mean, it is something which... Remember 2002 when Ireland played Cameroon, there was some pre-tournament problems. We had some big pre-tournament problems.
Yeah, who were we to talk
well.
About it in fighting?
Cameroon had some problems then. They had some problems in 2014 as well. I think I remember the song getting sent off and things. Were the players fighting each other or something like this happened on the pitch? What is happening?
Fair play to Ken Murphy. He barreled on with all the other incidents of Cameroon players infighting.
I just feel like it's not our place to be throwing mud on that
particularly in 2002.
On that particular topic, on that particular World Cup.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
So, for you to ask that question, pretty strange. Yeah, very disappointed, yeah, but there you go.
What have I become? My sweetest friend.
I mean, at the time I thought that you were completely in the right.
Everyone I know.
But now I think... Should have just played in. Should have just played in.
I'm surprised you're really asking that question.
And you could have it all.
No, but it doesn't matter really what you think.
My empire of dirt.
Yeah, you want air at the time.
I will let you down.
You want an international player.
I will make you hurt.
And you hadn't had the frustrations I had.
If I could start.
Not played at the international level.
A million miles away.
And you hadn't been accused of faking an injury, so.
I would keep myself.
What you think doesn't really matter.
I would find a way.
Ireland's first ever gymnastics world champion dropped by studio on Tuesday, Reese McLennigan. It's such a fascinating career. It's only when you start thinking, okay, let's go through the ups and downs of this guy because we're going to be talking to him, that it really is driven home. Because even before his triumph in Liverpool, he was already a European champion, Commonwealth champion, and a world bronze medalist, and yet has had enough time in his career, even at the age of 23, to have a lot of lows thrown in there. A lot of crushing lows as well. He didn't make the European final this year. He missed out in a world final. He obviously had the Olympics before that, which was a disaster in sporting terms. But, oh, and also the Commonwealth Games. He won a silver medal this year at the Commonwealth Games. But that was after a really stressful time where he was told he wasn't going to be allowed to compete for Northern Ireland, having also represented Ireland. He ultimately was allowed to take part after having to campaign on his own behalf and politicians getting involved and so on. So there's just, it is one of the more interesting Irish sporting careers. Here's a nice chunk of our chat with Rhys.
We tried a new approach this year after Olympics and after World Championships last year. We were like, okay, let's change the routine about, let's get the execution of the routine better by adding in a different skill that had the potential to be executed nicer. It turned out that that wasn't the case throughout this year. That's what the main cause of most of mistakes were throughout this year, was a skill that was just throwing me off balance. A little bit of panic in there, my leg separated. And when that happens, the judges just take so many points off you. So we then, before World Championships, I was like, I think the best option here is to take the better of the two, go back to the old routine that I was competing at Olympics. Right. And it paid off this time.
Yeah. I wonder, Is change nearly necessary, or even the chance to experiment with change? Is that kind of something that you have to do after not delivering at Olympic and at Europeans? So you have to say, right, okay, whether or not I can still go back to the old way, but maybe there's no harm in me just saying, okay, let's just try something different for 6 months, and that kind of takes you out of the previous year.
Yeah, you have to try and test these and put them into a competition program, test them in competition. Your body reacts differently in competition, and so does your mind. So you got to stress test these things. And that was a stress testing phase. And it was a difficult decision to, train this routine all year and then, coming up to World Championships, be like, it doesn't work.
Huge call.
Let's go back.
Yeah. Do you make that call, or does your coach?
It's a joint decision. So I initially said it to my coach, and he was like, it just feels like we're going backwards. And, we're honest with each other. My coach isn't somebody to have false confidence and say, like, no, this is it. You need to do this. And, it's definitely a discussion. So we were both under the impression it felt like we're going backwards, like back to this old routine. But I was like, if it works, it works. If I'm scoring this score, that's going to take home a world title. And, thankfully it did.
What was that skill you were trying, Reese? Is it possible to explain to us?
So it's just more or less.
It's a pretty big table, I should say. Let's get up and
I'll handle this one.
Yeah. So it's more or less a travel along the pommel horse with a 360 turn in like a press up position, although with your legs elevated above the horse. And the difficulty with this skill is it's out of rhythm. So normally you've got a standard rhythm. Each circle that you do around that pommel horse is like, if you listen to it on TV, you'll hear it. Yeah. And then this skill that I do is out of rhythm. It's more like.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's strange.
That's the noise my hips would make if I attempted it. Yeah.
So I guess the fact that it's out of rhythm, it means that I'll clash the pommel horse a little bit more, and especially you can't go into like a default mode in competition, which sometimes you do, and it's quite a good thing to fall back on. If your focus slides a little bit, you still got that rhythm that you're following. It's just natural for our minds to follow a rhythm and a pattern. So when towards the end of that routine there's that new skill that's out of rhythm and it's slightly off balance, there might be a little bit of panic in there, and I think that's what happened with that skill. So we're just like, put that in the bin, go back to the old one.
Oh, well done. Making that call, it obviously worked out for you and you were really comfortable with what you were doing, and you finished your routine, you looked thrilled, you looked absolutely delighted. At that stage, you're thinking that's a gold medal routine, or you're thinking I've done all I can here, whatever happens after this happens?
A little bit of both. Well, like I know that the routine that I always do is the potential to win any gold medal, and that's what I train. I almost make that decision in the training hall. I don't make that decision. I'm going for gold on competition day. What I'm doing on competition day is going for that routine that I've decided prior is going to be a gold medal winning routine. So I guess when I'm in competition day, that's the luxury of having that routine, is that I know that it's always got that potential. So, you know, I'm not giving it any more effort on that day. But when I do land that dismount, it's just relief that I've done the job. I go there to perform this routine that I've been training. So I'm just like relief that I've done it. The hard work was worth it and it's paid off on that day.
Yeah. So you've done that. You're very happy with the routine, but you still don't have the gold medal at that stage.
Yes.
So what's that like after the routine, but before the gold medal is confirmed?
I'm still happy. Like, you know, it's almost just like, I don't care about the score. I don't care about the results. I do that, but like in that moment, I'm more happy that, you know, I've done this routine. I'm just so happy I've done this routine. And that's what my coach said to me. He's just like, you've done your job. Doesn't matter about the score. It's out of your hands. That's in the judges' hands. It doesn't matter what anyone else's routine is like. That's in their hands. Like, you've done your job. And that's such a gratifying feeling to feel. And I'm glad that my coach always reminds me of that.
Easy for him to say, but
I think he was more stressed about the scores coming in than I was.
But you were out early. You've put the pressure on everyone else as well. So you're obviously aware of that. To a certain extent, you can kick back and allow the pressure to suffocate some of the competitors.
Yeah, and I think that definitely does happen. And I think that's maybe the luxury of going up one of the first competitors, because, you know, this big score of 15.3 comes up, all the other competitors are thinking, oh, I need to do my best here to beat that. And that's where maybe that switch in mindset comes into play. Maybe they do give a little bit more effort than is needed or than they're used to in training. You know, they're not going into each routine in training thinking, I need to get this score. They're thinking, I'm just doing this routine how I normally do it, and that's how you should approach every competition.
Yeah, and interesting you mentioned the order there, because the previous two competitors before you, the first two up, they both fell.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting position for you to be in. You know, there's a challenge there that, like, it is, you've referenced golf already, but it is kind of an interesting thing. You know, if you've two golfers playing the same hole, one of them misses a 3-foot putt, the other guy's got a 2.5-foot putt left, and all of a sudden everyone says, oh, that guy didn't want to see the first guy miss his putt because now it's in his head. God, is there something going on here? So that's a really tough position for you to be in as well. It's two competitors you don't need to worry about, but it's also, God, I wish I saw someone just glide through their routine. And, you know, this sport looks easy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the competitor right before me, I don't watch the routine because I kind of, it's a little bit of a routine. It's not like a need to do this or anything, but it just gets me in the zone and focus. So when the person before me presents to the judges, then I turn around with my back to the pommel horse and visualize my routine. And hopefully by the time they finish their routine, I finish my imaginary routine. This time, this guy was falling on pommel, so I was like done my imaginary routine and they're still going. I was like, okay, they fell there. So I need to regroup.
Try to stay in the zone here. How much of your, have you seen your family? Do you have much family at it?
My mom, my dad, and my brother came to watch me, so it was nice to share that with them.
Yeah, because I know it was quite hectic for you afterwards. Have you had much of a chance to even catch up properly yet?
Yeah, not fully catch up, but, you know, we've shared the moment together, and I think that's what matters most. Even like coming out of the arena, there was just a huge amount of fans. I needed like security to get me to my hotel, like 50 meters away from the exit of the arena. So that was crazy. And my mom and dad were there, but I just got to like see them and not properly talk with them. So I'm looking forward to just getting home, sitting on the sofa with them with a cup of tea and just sharing the experience.
Pass that medal around a bit more.
Yes,
absolutely. It's been a mad time for you. There was the Commonwealth Games that initially you weren't going to be allowed to compete in. Because you were going to be representing Northern Ireland and you'd obviously represent Ireland as well. How stressful was that build up for you?
Yeah, that was quite stressful. You know, it was more or less somebody that's not from this island. You know, there are people in the International Gymnastics Federation like questioning my identity, which is it's a difficult thing to do. It's something that I don't feel like athletes should handle, and even politics. Like, you know, I don't feel like athletes should handle those situations at all. I was going on interviews and I was like, listen, I don't know. Like, I'm not a politician. This is not my job. My job is to swing around that pommel horse and put out good routines. So it was a stressful time for sure. But, you know, I'm glad we made it through. I still got a medal at the Commonwealth Games, which I'm incredibly proud of. And yeah, it was a tough time.
You did have to get involved though. Even you didn't want to have to get involved in that, but you really quite directly had to campaign on your own behalf to be allowed to compete.
Well, the main reason I was campaigning was not just for myself, it was for the younger generation coming up. You know, I don't want anybody else to go through that. So I was like, it's falling on my shoulders whether I like it or not. Yeah. So why not me make the change? And I was trying my best to make that change. I think talks are still happening. You know, the situation isn't resolved completely. There's just still a bit of confusion on what's going to happen. But I'm hoping that I made a strong enough case so that it hopefully doesn't happen for future generations.
Murph, we should mention the photographs with myself, yourself and Reese McFennigan after the...
took some lovely photographs.
There were some very nice photos there. You standing slightly apart and looking about 7 foot taller than myself and Reese, who are arm in arm.
Giant priest bothers world champion gymnast.
During
unidentified fad.
I was going to say post-podcast interview. There's an element of that, right?
Not a good look for me. But, I mean... The thumbnail for the podcast helpfully edited me out completely. No, not quite completely. There is like a shoulder that's visible, just enough for a number of my friends to pick up their phone and go, "That's your shoulder, isn't it, Murph? What? How bad did you look in this photograph that you had to be excised so brutally?"
Just a little too tall for the photo.
I understand.
All that is available for World Service members right now. Tomorrow they'll also be hearing our trip to Cork, where myself and Ciarán here went to meet our book reviewer for the latest I'll Tell You Wrote It book club episode. That was the writer Emer Ryan talking about Night Games. That's coming out tomorrow. SecondCaptains.com, £5 a month plus a little bit of VAT depending where in the world you're listening from. That's all we're asking for you on a monthly basis. No minimum contract, nothing like that. So, well, there is a minimum, I suppose, contract of one
in
month.
The month. But you pay for the month. Yeah, it's not a contract.
We're not hitting you for a year or anything like that.
I think you'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, you would.
I mean, if you're listening to this, then you're interested in what we're doing. So come on in.
That's it.
Why not have a... listen, I've already said too much on
all episodes on the World Service are ad-free. And Second Captains, the Second Captains podcast, is part of the Acast
Creator
Network.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.